knowledge continue on so we can understand how the millennium is going to end and why God looses Satan at the end of the millennium. Now, there's going to be a reason. Let's begin to analyze right here. Verse 20. There will not be an infant who lives but a few days. So they're all going to fulfill their lives. Nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. Now then, for the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner who is 100 years old shall be accursed. Now, what is the division here between the righteous and the sinner? Well, the righteous are those who enter into the kingdom of God. But why does it say the child shall die 100 years old? In other words, everyone's going to fulfill their life, live 100 years, but they're going to die. But how long will they be dead? All right, let's answer the question, why everyone needs to die. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. This tells us why everyone has to die. What is the difference between an infant who lives to be 100 years old and dies, compared to a sinner 100 years old is accursed? Now, if they fulfill their days, and if they love God, and if they are obedient, and if they have the Holy Spirit of God, that puts them into a particular category. Does it not? We'll see that in just a minute. Yes, it does. But here is one thing that God has decreed. Verse 27, Hebrews 9. For inasmuch as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Well, all of those who live in the millennium will be being judged every day, just like we are, who have been called, who have repented, who have been baptized, received the Holy Spirit of God, are living God's way, growing in grace and knowledge, overcoming and changing. We are going to die. But then there will be the resurrection. So the child that dies at 100 is obviously then going to be changed. But there has to be that instantaneous death, because it says it's given to man once to die. Now, how do we understand this? Let's come back a few pages here to 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. And I think we get an answer. And the answer is contained right here for those who are still alive when Christ returns and the first resurrection takes place. All right, so let's read it here. Let's pick it up in verse 16. Because the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's why we have the first resurrection. However, not everyone who has been a Christian is going to be dead and in the grave. So what's going to happen to them? Verse 17. So we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds for the meeting with the Lord in the air, and so shall we always be with the Lord. So those who are alive, what is going to happen to them? They're going to be changed. Now, how are they going to be changed? So they must have an instantaneous death and transformation. Now, that's what must take place. Because we find back here in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Now, let's come back here to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Okay, verse 50. Well, let's come back here to verse 49. Verse 49, 1 Corinthians 15. Now, see, we'll put the scriptures together to see if we can get the understanding we need as to what is going to happen. So verse 49. Now as we have borne the image of the one made of dust, which must die, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly one, which is meaning we have to be transformed. Number one, by the resurrection if we're dead and in the ground. Number two, in order to get rid of the physical body and the law of sin and death, there has to be an instantaneous death, then an instantaneous transformation. Bang, bang. Now let's read a little more here. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption, which is fleshly, inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all fall asleep, but we shall all be changed in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, let's apply that to those who live during the millennium. They live 100 years. So it comes time for them to enter into the kingdom of God. Because it says they're going to die 100 years. But that is going to be an instantaneous death and an instantaneous transformation so they can enter the spiritual kingdom of God. Now that fulfills all the scriptures, doesn't it? Yes, indeed. Now what about the sinner? It says the sinner that dies shall be accursed, which means this, that person did not repent, refused salvation, refused to do the will of God. They're sinners. Now, what does God do with sinners if they can't die? What do I mean by that? Well, what happens when we come toward the end of the millennium? There comes a time when the sinner will not be able to live 100 years and then die. So what's going to happen to them? What if we come to a time like we saw all the way through? How that even like with Solomon, after all the good things that God did with Solomon, all the things that God did with his people during that time, that there were those who did not obey God. Let's come back to Adam and Eve. We have two clear-cut cases here. What happened to them when they had sinned? Now, they were living with God in the Garden of Eden, correct? Now, they sinned, but God did not want to bring upon them the death penalty immediately. Otherwise, the plan of God could not go forward because they if being dead, they'd be unable to have children, correct? So what did God do? He removed them from the Garden of Eden. Now, when you're removed from the presence of God, that is an exile. So we see that God removes sinners by exiling them. Now, let's look at the case of Cain, who murdered his brother Abel. What happened? God did not exercise the death penalty upon him either, did he? No, he sent him further exiled into the land of Nod, or the land of wandering. So let's view it this way. Toward the end of the millennium, there is a generation of people who have grown up to all and in the society, but they choose not to obey God. Now, what did God do to the 10 tribes of the children of Israel when they sinned? All right, let's come back here to 2 Kings 17. Let's see what God did. Because God obviously did not. He did not execute them. He let them live out their lives and die and be buried after they were exiled. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 8. Now, it's talking about the children of Israel, and walked in the statutes of the nations whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel instead of following God. Now, what happens when during the millennium someone says, I don't want to obey. What happens if they commit a very serious crime, but it's not yet worthy of death, and they don't have time to live out 100 years? All right, I think we can answer that question. Let's go ahead. So what if we have people during the millennium who do these things, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel? Now, what did God do with the heathen? He got rid of them, got them out of the land, right? So now what does God do with the children of Israel because of their sins? He exiles them into captivity because they disobeyed. And now, verse 9, the children of Israel secretly did the things that were not right against the Lord their God, and they built high places in all their cities for themselves, from the watchtower to the fortified city. They set up images and groves for themselves in every high hill and under every green tree. They burned incense in all the high places like the nations whom the Lord had removed from before them, and they practiced evil things to provoke the Lord to anger. So God said, don't do these things. Now verse 13, and the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and all the seers, saying, turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and statutes according to all the law which I gave to your fathers, which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Nevertheless, they would not hear. So what are we going to do with those who choose not to obey? Well, Isaiah 65 says they're accursed. If they live to be 100 years, they're accursed and buried, which is their first death. And everyone has to have a first death. But what has to happen to all sinners? All the incorrigible sinners must die twice, because it says there is the second death. So what happens? If those in the millennium, there are some who will choose and refuse to obey God. And there's not enough time for them to live to be 100 and be buried and be accursed that way. What is God going to do with them? Will he do with them as he did with the Adam and Eve and Cain and the children of Israel and Judah? Let's see what God says here. Okay? So God testified and said, keep my ways. Verse 14 again. Nevertheless, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like the necks of the fathers who did not believe. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant which he made with their fathers and his warnings that he testified against them. And they went after vanity and became vain and went after the nations around them concerning whom the Lord had charged them not to do like them. Now again, apply this to the last generation of the millennium. And let's think about what we have already covered. Verse 16, they left all the commandments of God, the Lord their God, made molten images, two calves for themselves. They made a grove, worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal. They caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire. They used divination and sorceries and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Now, what if there are people who do that? By choice. Here's what happens, verse 18. So the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. He sent them off into exile. The Assyrians took them away. Well, now what's going to happen during the millennium? Could it be, and it sounds like it's entirely possible that it's going to be, that there is part of the area of Gog and Magog that will be reserved and set aside for the incorrigible wicked who refuse to repent? And they will be removed and exiled to Gog and Magog. Now, can you see how that can happen? Look at the history of human behavior as we covered earlier. How that humans, when they disregard God, they become lukewarm? Did it not happen to the church? And can it not happen to those people as well? Yes, indeed. Because, you see, we grow up in a society and everything is here. For example, there isn't hardly anyone left who does not remember the time when we didn't have electricity and didn't have transportation like we have it today. And now we can fly here and there and go anywhere in the world anytime we want to. And we take these things for granted. And we take the way that things are that are set up for granted. And then we begin to sin because when you take it for granted, an animosity and hatred begins to build up. Now, this has to be because these people did not repent and were not baptized. So these are carnal people in the last generation of the millennium. Now, what are you going to do with them? Are you going to execute them? Or are you going to save them all for one last grand deception by Satan the devil? So let's go back here and read this again. Let's come back to Revelation, the 20th chapter. And with this in mind, and understanding what it's talking about, and remember we can depend on the scriptures, correct? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That applies to Christ. And the Lord says he changes not. So God must handle the sinners who cannot die toward the end of the millennium because there's not enough time for them to live to be 100 years old. He has to exile them, remove them from his kingdom. Where will he put them? Well, we read how infamous Gog and Magog were in their rebellion at the beginning of the millennium. And it just so happens that Gog and Magog is where Siberia is today. Huh. Think about that for a minute. Now, what have the Russians done to the dissidents in their civilization, even with the czars and on down through the Soviet Union? And will be happening again, I am sure. They exile them to Siberia. Now, since the wicked must be removed, and since there's not enough time for them to die, to live 100 and die accursed, while they're still living, they're accursed. So they must be removed from the kingdom of God. Now, is this why we find people from nations? See, now let's go back to Revelation 20 and let's read it again. Let's see the sequence of events of what's going to happen. Satan is bound for 1,000 years. And after that, it is ordained that he be loosed for a short time. Now, why? Why be loosed? Well, because there is yet one more mission that Satan has to do, and that is he has to go out and deceive those who have been exiled. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 7. Now, when the 1,000 years have been completed, Satan will be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go out to deceive the nations that are in the four corners of the earth. Now, let's understand something, Gog and Magog. They willingly chose to reject God's way, so they had to be removed. They were not deceived. They gave up salvation by their own free choice, their own free will. They rejected God. They rejected their teachers, that is us, kings and priests. They rejected everything about God's way, and so God said, go. If you don't want to live here, you're going to live over there. Now, just picture after 1,000 years, there's going to be a great population. Think of it. And how many are going to choose at that time because They're not willing to repent, not willing to be baptized. They reject the Holy Spirit of God. They're sent off into a place of exile. Now, is it possible that some may go there and repent, want to come back, and then repent? That's possible. We don't know. But notice what it says here. When 1,000 years have been completed, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go out to deceive the nations that are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog. So this has to be the geographical area of Gog and Magog, not the people. This is the land of Gog and Magog, not the people of Gog and Magog. Just like there is the land of Israel, but there are the children of Israel. And just like when they sinned, they were exiled out of the land of Israel into another land. So likewise, when the people at the end of the millennium reject salvation, they are removed. And then Satan deceives them into what? Now, I don't know exactly how it's going to be, but when Satan comes out of his prison and he's sent to those people and he performs signs and wonders and miracles, because he's able to do that, correct? Yes, indeed. Is he going to convince them that he is really God? And that all of these people ruling over them with all of these rules and regulations and laws and things like this, that they are the evil ones. After all, you choose not to obey. Oh, yes, now that must have been very wise on your part. Now, I am here, Satan will tell them, and let's do this. Now, we know they have no defense around Jerusalem. And we know that if we work up an army and come to do battle against them, and if we succeed, which we can, then we'll take over the kingdom. Now, does that sound like the plan that Satan had in previous times? Yes. Now, what else does Satan have to help deceive the people? Well, all the demons would also be restrained in the abyss that was sealed. So they will be released and go with Satan as well. And they will do tremendous and wondrous things. So these people will be deceived and believe that they can actually regain the power and take it from God. All they have to do is go down and conquer Jerusalem. And the best time to do it is at the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, with that set up, let's continue to read. Okay? Of whom the number is the sand of the sea, to gather them together for war. Now, all during the millennium, they didn't learn war. Soon as Satan is removed, what happens? War. What happened when Satan first rebelled against God? War in heaven. What happens when Christ returns? War against Satan, the devil, and the demons, and Christ and the angels and the resurrected saints. So every time Satan is loose, there's war. Why this war? Well, they think that perhaps they're going to regain power. But notice what they do. Then I saw them come up upon the breadth of the earth and encircle the camp of the saints and the beloved city. Now, the beloved city is Jerusalem on earth. So here they're coming against the camp of the saints. And what is the tabernacle that is over Jerusalem? The cloud by day and pillar of fire by night, correct? Yes, indeed. So they look around and see no defenses. And here they are, whatever weapons they have. I'm sure that Satan showed them how to make the weapons, what to do, and stir them all up in their hatred toward God. And here they come in this battle and going to wreak vengeance against God and against the saints. Because after all, they would be so familiar with them that they will be blinded in their disobedience that they won't even realize that they have absolutely no power against God. Same deception that Satan had. He thought he could become like God. He thought that with one-third of the angels, he could overcome God, take the throne of God, defeat the angels of God and God and Christ, and take over the universe. Well, that's the same thing that he's going to tell him here. Now notice what happened. And fire came down from God out of heaven and consumed them. Now, isn't that interesting? Now, if they're destroyed in this fire, what is that death? That is their first death. So God does this to the incorrigible wicked in the last part of the millennium. For those who reject God and his way, he sends them off into captivity to Gog and Magog. When 1,000 years are finished, Satan is loosed out of his prison and he goes to deceive them into coming and fighting against God. Now then, this brings the first death to every one of those sinners, and the sinner dies accursed in this last generation, even though they couldn't live to be 100 years old. Now that's the last thing that God is going to use Satan the devil for. Then notice what happens. Now here comes the judgment of Satan the devil. And the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet had been cast, because they were cast there at the beginning of the millennium, weren't they? Yes, indeed. And they, because it is plural in the Greek, that is Satan and the demons, because flesh is going to burn up in a lake of fire. So the beast, who was a physical human being, and the false prophet, who was a human being, were burned up when they were cast into the lake of fire. But Satan and the demons, being composed of spirit, the fire does not destroy them. And they, Satan and the demons, shall be tormented day and night into the ages of eternity. Now then, that sets the stage for the final great harvest of God, as pictured by the last great day. So this is the fate of Satan and the demons. Later it shows that the blackness of darkness is reserved for them forever. And will that not bring more torment than anything that flames and fire can do? Now we find that in the book of Jude. Yes, indeed. So this is how the millennium is going to end. And that sets the stage for the greatest harvest of all. And that's why we have the last great day. So you all come back tomorrow, and we will learn the message of the last great day. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.